A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant.
We are back here at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio all day with a happy hour. $4 beers, $4 wells, $5 margaritas, and $5 shots. We got some awesome people roaming around. I believe I've been offered free beverages. Hell yeah. And if you're watching this right now, which you should, at ESPN975 on Twitch or on YouTube at ESPN Houston, you will see the greatest hat that you have ever seen in your life. I was on Amazon.com, and I looked for a cougar hat, and I found a knit hat that literally is a cougar's face with those little tie things at the very bottom, and now I've just been presented with a wonderful bit of Shiner beer. Thank you so much, sir. Hell to the yeah. Let's take a sip. Good stuff. Because you see, our Cougs are about to do battle. Our beloved Cougs are about to take on some directional Illinois school, of which there are apparently two Southerns. I had no idea about that until literally today. Am I overlooking the fearsome fraud Cougars of Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville? Yes. Yes, I am. And we will all be overlooking them today, assuming that the Cougars can, you know, do what they're supposed to do, cover a 28.5-point spread. That's it. Just 28.5 points. That's not that much. Not that much. So we're going to be out here at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio all day. Come out and join us. The Cougs game is about to tip off. They hiss too, Cougars, from what I understand. Most of the Twitch likes this. Mega, as always, believes that I'm being a poser by putting this on. And also says that I identify as a they-them feline. I'm a furry that's going to have to use a cat box for kicking them all on Twitch. Eh, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not allowed anywhere near a Texas school, I think, anymore. After a couple of sweeping executive statements, I believe, here in the Texas state government. Anyway, guys, Cougs game is now officially on all the TVs. Who do you think would do a better job calling the Cougs game? Jeremy Branham or me? I think me. You know? See, like when SIU misses a three-point shot like that, I'm just going to say, like, they suck. SIU sucks. It's absolute fraud university. And look at that. Our beloved Cougs running the lane and hitting a two-point shot. Game over. It's 2-2. Should have won while you had the chance, SIU. See, you think Jeremy can do that? He can't. He can't. He's paid to root for the Cougs. I chose the Cougs voluntarily.
It feels like I'm there at the arena hearing your call. Yeah.
It does.
It really transported me.
Thank you very much. You know, I did go to Syracuse after all, which is, you know, the premier broadcasting school, you know, flexing a little bit. But I abandoned Syracuse because I am a front-running fraud and or bandwagoner for the Cougs. Because, you know, what have Syracuse done for me lately? They haven't made the tournament in 4 years. Oh, the Cougs just go all the way pretty much, except for winning the title every single year. So it's a 4-4 game. We'll keep you posted on what's going on in that game. Come out and hang out with us. I'm a little concerned about something that the Houston Texans are doing. Yesterday at the very end of the show, we learned that they had signed Cam Robinson, a left tackle who had played for the Jaguars last year, who had played for the Vikings last year, to a one-year deal worth $12 to $14.5 million. You see that deal handed out, and you think to yourself, this makes sense. I know who this guy is. I don't know who Laken Tomlinson is. I don't know who Ed Ingram is. I want a guy who I actually recognize on the offensive line. If they're going to sign somebody, give me somebody, anybody that I recognize. Because let's be honest, I don't have the time to do offensive line film study like all these dorks online now do who claim that they're football experts because they have some sort of recording software that allows them to take clips from
NFL Game Pass. Like, I don't have the time to do that. Me, a sports talk show host who has a very difficult job. I mean, it's 3 hours a day. It's a lot. I don't have time for that. But I want the Texans to sign people I recognize on the offensive line. And Cam Robinson is a name I recognize. I took a look at some of the metrics and some of the stats online, and he didn't seem like he was very good last year. And there's a reason he probably only signed a one-year contract. But I did not know that the guy struggled last season. I was of the opinion that he was mediocre, average. And then I saw this from at the 33rd team FB, which is a football website of sorts. It's the one that has the St. Brown podcast and also has that that Mick guy, Sam Monson, who talks about football in a rather condescending manner, considering he has an Irish accent. You know, listen, I love the Irish people, but I don't really trust your opinion entirely based off of that. And then also some guy named Steve Palazzolo. So anyway, the 33rd team website put this out about Cam Robinson, and this is a little concerning. Not a single offensive lineman allowed more pressures than Cam Robinson last season. Jesus! Not a single one? Not a single one? Oh, my God!
So he's worse than Kenyon Green?
Yes. Yes, Brian McDonald here. Yes. He ranks dead last in eligible offensive linemen. He is 560th out of 560. So he's worse than Kenyon Green. He's worse than everybody.
Doesn't it kind of feel with this signing, with the trade for Ed Ingram, with obviously the signing of Lakin Tomlinson, it kind of feels like Nick Caserio is entering his Daryl Morey era where he just keeps collecting busted first-round picks. Now, Cam Robinson was a second-round pick, but 34th overall, so
yeah,
pretty close to a first. But it feels like Caserio is just starting to collect the random first-round busts that that Morey went through towards the end.
Either he's doing that or he thinks that Nate Tice, who covers football for Yahoo Sports and the NFL Network, he thinks that Nate Tice is the biggest idiot of all time. I say that because Nate Tice, in a couple of days, has put out the following posts. This is from March 13th. The Texans jettisoned the guard that allowed the third highest one-on-one pressure rate among all guards, Kenyon Green, and now have acquired the guards that ranked first, Ed Ingram, and fourth, Lakin Tomlinson. So those guys suck, per Nate Tice. Nate Tice also said this: Cam Robinson allowed the highest one-on-one pressure rate among all offensive tackles last year once he became the starter in Minnesota, 17% from week 9 onwards compared to the league average of 9.8%. Oh, great, great. So they've brought in three offensive linemen who are among the worst at their position based off of this specific metric, and you're trying to make your pass protection better, and these guys one-on-one are bad at blocking? Good googly moogly. Now, if you want to make a devil's advocate argument for Cam Robinson and maybe even Ed Ingram, there is a Redditor who is a Vikings fan who thinks that Cam Robinson's numbers inflated due to Sam Darnold. Writes this Vikings fan: we gave Darnold the second most time in the pocket all of last season, yet still gave up a million pressures. That tells you who is to blame, and it's not our offensive line. Darnold's slow processor to accompany an offensive system that has lots of intermediate passing led to massive amounts of pressures. Our line was near the top of the league in pass block win rate, and the time to throw Darnold had shows that. Cam Robinson was quite good. People have to wake up on this. Our offensive line did a great job in pass blocking this past year. They were downright pathetically awful in run blocking, though. And that's why we need to upgrade our interior, not because of pass blocking issues. So this person is talking about the Vikings side of things. The Vikings did improve their interior, but did the Texans improve their offensive line by adding Cam Robinson, trading for Ed Ingram, signing Lakin Tomlinson? Based at least off of some NFL minds and some NFL metrics, these guys are towards the bottom of the league in terms of what they do.
Now, I don't know if this will make you feel better, Paul, but it kind of goes to your what your initial thought was, that he was just average but not terrible. His pass block grade by PFF this last year ranked 49th of 141.
We read that yesterday.
Dead square average.
So that's in the middle. And I would take that. So we read that yesterday, and I was like, great. But now I've seen Nate Tice, and it feels like the Texans are fading Nate Tice. Because Nate Tice basically thinks that all the guys the Texans have signed this offseason have sucked, and he has facts to back up their suckiness. So you want to weigh in on that, you can. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. HTX Rhino comments on Twitch. It's okay. They have a Popovich to right the ship. Yes, Cole Popovich, who supposedly didn't see eye to eye with Bobby Slowik last year. Great. Like, hopefully Bobby Slowik was the biggest dolt of an offensive coordinator ever. Hopefully Chris Strausser was the worst offensive line coach ever. And hopefully Nate Tice is the biggest boob ever. Like, that's what you're hoping for right now. That's what we're looking for and thinking to ourselves, hey, this is something that could be better. This is something that has to be better because those guys couldn't be any worse, and that analyst doesn't know what he's talking about. Not an ideal place to be. They're going to have to draft somebody. Hopefully there's more offensive line acquisitions to be made the rest of this offseason. But given that they've done a bunch of restructures and extensions recently, I would imagine that a lot of those were done with the idea of bringing in a guy like Cam Robinson to play on the offensive line. You want to weigh in on this, you can at 713-780-3776. It's how you call. It's how you text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston as well. From the 409, sounds like they're trying to wreck C.J. Stroud. I mean, not intentionally. The 409 texter continues, C.J.'s exit meeting with the Texans said they wanted him to improve his mobility, so they developed his offensive line to help him achieve that goal. Maybe. I think they wanted him to improve his strength as well, which is something that Warren Moon said that he had told him he needs to work on this offseason. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show. We are live in East Downtown at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio. Cougs game is on. The TVs, all the TVs are on the Cougs game right now. They lead SIU Edwardsville 17-6 with 13:31 to play in the first half. $4 beers, $4 wells, $5 margaritas, and $5 shots. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Paul Gallant Show, live at Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio. Stick around.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant.
That's right. We're live here for a Cougs watch party. Cougs are up 24-8 on SIU Edwardsville in Wichita, Kansas. Great start for them. Other games in progress right now with March Madness tipping off this morning. Creighton leads Louisville 81-66 with 2:03, now 1:58 to play. Purdue's up in the second half on High Point University 56-48. And Wisconsin leads Montana 40-32. To this point, Creighton over Louisville would be the lone upset, but it's a 9-8. Rather chalk outside of that. So you want to come out, watch the Cougs in East Downtown? Come on out here. It's a beautiful day. Really is. And I'm not dying. The pollen isn't killing me today. Did the allergy medication finally take hold? Did somebody go out there and murder all the oak trees like I suggested? George Washington style? Chop, chop, chop. Maybe. Maybe. The Houston Texans made another move yesterday, by the way, in addition to signing Cam Robinson. They gave Danielle Hunter an extension, 1 year, $35.6 million. He had signed a 2 year, $49 million contract with Houston last offseason. He's going to get a $12 million raise this coming year, so his salary will be $32 million, and he'll earn out the remainder of the extension in 2026. He was fifth in the NFL. Houston was fifth in the NFL in sacks last year with 49. Hunter was tied for fifth in the league with sacks while recording a pressure rate of 23.9%, which is second most among all players with at least 200 pass rush snaps because of Hunter, as well as the ability of his fellow defensive lineman to sack and pressure opposing quarterbacks, writes DJ Bien-Aimé. The Texans forced a lot of turnovers in 2024. Houston snagged 19 interceptions, second most in the league, finished with 29 takeaways overall, fifth most. Good move, and good for Danielle Hunter. Hunter played his ass off, and Hunter's extremely vascular, massive biceps are something I envy. I want those biceps. How can I get them? Really, the only way I could probably get them is steroids. If you're watching on the stream right now, definitely lost a little bit of weight over the last couple of weeks. Haven't been going to the gym as much, been going to the rodeo a lot, been dealing with allergies, blah, 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 blah. Solo show now. Joe still works at the station, by the way, in case you didn't know that. He's taking a step to the side into an upper management role, but he's also taking time away for his family. I feel like I have to reset that just about every single day. But Danielle Hunter, I want those biceps. Evan Gattis, I wanted those forearms. And insert just about every athlete that exists, I want their calves. Because at 185 pounds, you know, it's nice up top. It's nice in the donk. It's nice in the quads. And I do not have a belly. But I need some glamour muscles. And I can't get it because of my spindly Irish frame. It's just not going to happen. But congratulations to Danielle Hunter on that. And the Texans are rewarding their best players this offseason. They gave Derek Stingley that extension. We heard Derek Stingley at his press conference yesterday to announce the extension he'd signed. He's adorable in that he just has no desire to talk at all. He was asked, like, hey, like, so how'd you celebrate? Oh, some crawfish. He's a man of very few words, and I like it. I just like that there's a corner out there who doesn't just yap, like Sauce Gardner does. He's the complete antithesis of Sauce Gardner, the guy who was taken right after him. And he is, I think, now the consensus better player between the two after an incredible season that he had last year. So that's all good to see. If you're just tuning in, we open up today's show talking about the Rockets making the playoffs, technically. Do we acknowledge the play-in tournament as the playoffs in the NBA? I do not, personally. But I think that it's worth celebrating that the Rockets are officially, at the very least, if their season falls apart, they will be in the play-in tournament, no matter what happens the rest of the game. That's because they have 12 games left, and they have a 12-game lead on the Suns and the Mavericks, both of whom are tied for the 10th spot in the West. That's the final spot in the play-in tournament. Houston has a tiebreaker over both teams, so the Rockets cannot fall below either one of these teams, no matter what happens down the stretch. So the NBA doesn't consider this an actual playoff berth, but the Rockets have accomplished at least half of their goals this season, and I think that really their main goal was to outright make the playoffs, but the play-in tournament I would have accepted. Last year, that was the goal, and they didn't quite get there. They were close, 500 season, but now 20 games over 500. The schedule does get a little bit difficult in the next couple of games, but they also have a 5.5-game lead in the tiebreaker over the 7-seed Clippers. So, I mean, it's hard to imagine the Rockets falling lower than 6 in the West. And they deserve a lot of credit for that. I think buying into Ime Udoka as quickly as possible, especially considering how lackadaisical and loosey-goosey things were with Steven Silas, that, I imagine, took a lot of patience for these young Rockets players who were getting like patted on the back after 30-point losses by Steven Silas until Silas had that one little outburst towards the end. And then you go to having a guy in Ime Udoka who's calling you out, like, if you're Amen Thompson, for allowing a point. I mean, it's a massive difference. And they've accepted it. Not many teams would. You get that loser juice fermenting a little bit too long. Some Haro comes in as your head coach. Not everyone necessarily is buying in. Now, I think the good thing for the Rockets is it's not like there was anybody here who's so talented that you would look at him and say, hey, man, you're above the law. You're Sorry. I had to do a double take for a second. Jesus. What was I talking about? Rockets basketball?
Yes. I noticed your distraction. You were Rockets basketball.
There's a strong, powerful, independent woman that just walked by. And just got to give her credit for being a strong, powerful, independent woman. Just like I got to give the Houston Rockets a lot of credit being a strong, powerful, playoff-bound basketball team. It's not easy.
I thought you were going to say independent, which would be a stretch.
Yeah, they're not independent.
Corporate-owned.
They are owned by a corporation. And... yep.
Distracted again?
I'm distracted again.
Okay.
Listen, there are some scenic views here. Okay? So there you go. There you go.
TVs, Paul.
TVs, yes. The Rockets, their basketball team. The Houston Cougars, their basketball team. And we're having a watch party right here in East Downtown at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar patio. And our beloved Cougs, rah, 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 have a 28-11 lead on SIU Edwardsville. How do you like that? You know what? I like it a lot. I like it a lot. And I feel like they're going to be able to run away with this one pretty easily. I mean, this one's – SIU's doing some really dumb stuff right now. I just saw a pretty embarrassing lane violation by them. They were just trying to inbound the ball, and a guy had his foot out of bounds while he was inbounding it and receiving the ball. Like, they're just not good. They're not good, which is nice. I don't want to stress over the 16 seed. I don't want to stress over the 8 seed or the 9 seed either, you know, and I mean, that's who they end up playing next. I generally want to just not care at all about who the Cougs are playing. I want it to be easy. I want it to be simple. I want it to be a safe blowout. And I think that's what's going to be. 28.5 points is the line. 28.5 points. That's the line. So the Rockets are in the playoffs. The Cougs are kicking SIU Edwardsville's heinies. And you got some Astros questions on the table right now. Jose Altuve had another error on a routine pop-up yesterday. And the Astros have shown no possibility of perhaps moving on from Altuve in left field, putting him back at second base. They're not even considering it based off of what you heard from Joe Espada yesterday. And I know Altuve's going to try his hardest to make it work in left field. And he said after the second drop in two games that they don't reflect how far he's come this spring. Quote, I've been in tough situations before and I overcame that. I'm ready to go out there and play a good left field. I promise I'm going to keep working hard and be a great left fielder. Obviously, I'm not really happy about today or yesterday, but one thing I know for sure is when I want something to go my way, I'm going to do everything I can to do it. I think at the end of the day, I'm going to be playing good left field. All right. Awesome. All of those things are great to hear. But when you are seeing routine errors get made, and it's the same exact kind of error that was made the day before, like, isn't that supposed to get cleaned up by the next time you face a situation like that? Because both of these have been pop-ups right to Altuve where there's been a runner on third base and he is seemingly pressed and the ball has bounced off his glove. One time it bounced right in front of him. That was yesterday. 2 days ago, it bounced to his left and over the foul line. Easy runs home each time for the runner who was about to tag. He's just got to catch the ball. Can we do the very simple things first? It is spring training, and I get that he wants to show everybody that he's got an arm in left field because that's really, I think, what everybody's questioning. He's still got some athleticism and speed, and he's made some nice plays in left field, but he's also made some bad ones, and it really does feel like this is more likely than not to be a disaster than it is to be good. But for now, Altuve is the left fielder. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to chime in, you can at 713-780-3776 to call to text the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We are live at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar and Patio. We're going to be here all afternoon. $4 beers, $4 wells, $5 margaritas, $5 shots, a UH watch party in progress with our beloved Cougs taking it to SIU Edwardsville. 32-16, they lead with 6:47 to play in the first quarter. They're also going to have a huge event on Saturday, the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio. They're teaming up with your favorite Edo barbecue cookers for a brisket and ribs showcase. You can purchase a ticket from their link in their bio on Facebook and Instagram. Don't go anywhere. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Sack! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Texans wide receiver, no more, Stephon Diggs. He's a free agent, and the Texans are unexpected to bring him back. Is in, get this, New England, visiting with the Patriots. Ooh. Look, I don't think anyone expected Stephon Diggs to return to the Texans, especially coming off of a torn ACL. He did pretty well in the first half of last season, but he wasn't spectacular by any means. And while he did fit in really well, I think, with the Texans locker room, he will be elsewhere this coming season. Where he ends up signing, that's the question. I mean, could be New England. Could it be Dallas? Could it be somebody else? I guess we will see. Meanwhile, there is an offensive lineman available theoretically for the Texans, David Andrews. We've talked about him before. David Andrews was their starting center for a very long time. He's coming off a serious shoulder injury. And, of course, Mike Vrabel is the new head coach. Some people believe that Andrews might retire, but he finally was asked, hey, what's up? He was not planning to retire and said he is a little shocked because he thought there were some things that he could do to help and provide value for the Patriots. Well, considering he started 131 regular season and playoff games and won two Super Bowls with the Patriots after signing there as an undrafted free agent in 2015, if the Texans are looking for options to play center or at least compete on the interior offensive line with Laken Tomlinson, and on top of with Laken Tomlinson with Ed Ingram, and with Cam Robinson, all of whom do not really grade on so well per many of those football analytic websites, this is an option. I think the Texans should at the very least make a phone call. We'll see if they actually go and do something like that. 10-minute drill continues. There's been a series of rule change proposals. The Packers formally proposed to ban the tush push slash brotherly shove. Some other rules that have been proposed. And that one, it's pretty funny that that rule is in effect, because it is, it used to be, I don't know when it stopped being this way. It used to be illegal to shove players forward, but it stopped being that. And then the Eagles have taken advantage of it in a way where no one else can stop the play. So Green Bay is proposing getting rid of it. Detroit is proposing a rule that would eliminate an automatic first down as a penalty imposed for defensive holding and illegal contact. I like that because it's a 5-yard penalty for illegal contact. And sometimes for defensive holding, okay, it could be third and long. It's a 10-yard penalty, but it's an automatic first down. I like that one. And Philadelphia is proposing a rule change that would apply the current postseason overtime rules to regular season games. For those who don't know, in the regular season, if you score a touchdown, that's it. Each team gets a possession if the first possession results in a field goal or no touchdown. And on top of that, in the postseason, overtime is 15 minutes, and each team gets at least one possession. I think that you could go halfway here. I think that the regular season overtime should be 15 minutes. I think 10 minutes is too short of a time, because the first drive of that overtime could take too long, and I hate ties. I think they look ugly in the scoreboard or in the standings at the end of the year. So these are some rule changes that have been proposed. There you go. Derek Stingley had a press conference yesterday announcing his new contract. Here's what he had to say after the extension that he signed. 3 years, $90 million, $89 million of it guaranteed. Quote, "It means a lot that they allowed me to go out there with my coaches and they taught me this game and at this level. They believe I can be somebody to teach the younger people on the team. I'm not going to talk in front of everybody, but I know how to be a great teammate. I guess they believe in that, and that is what I believe in. I'm not going to do anything different. I'm just going to keep being me. It's time to play football. I'm ready to get back into it. That's really it. I don't think about the contract." I would think about the contract. $89 million guaranteed. That's pretty dope. I'm honestly very jealous. Should have played in the NFL. Alas, earwax. Might be a little bit too late. This is a very interesting lawsuit in the NFL. It comes from the Cleveland Browns. So, 30 years ago, the Browns moved away from Cleveland because they couldn't get a new stadium. This led to a law being put in place to keep the Browns from leaving Cleveland to get a new stadium. It's called the Art Modell Law. It's aimed at preventing a repeat of the team leaving town. The Browns are suing this. So the Cleveland Browns are suing a rule that would keep the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland forever. Man. I mean, if you didn't have enough reasons to hate Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, you know, the Deshaun Watson contract, bringing him in, how ridiculous that's been, the way that the Browns handled this back and forth with Myles Garrett this offseason. I mean, this is another one. Because I don't know that Jimmy Haslam is going to uproot the Browns from Cleveland and move them to another metro area altogether. But you could 100% see him moving them out of Cleveland, the city. And, I mean, would you want that if you're a Browns fan? Would you want a team that's in the suburbs or something like that, a pain in the ass to get to? There's enough stadiums in the league that are a pain in the ass to get to. You don't want that. So that's a fun one from the NFL. The Cleveland Browns are suing a rule that would keep them in Cleveland forever. What else do we have going on in the NFL? It was a rather slow day. Rondale Moore, remember him? He was a fun receiver with the Cardinals. Rondale Moore signed a deal with the Minnesota Vikings, who have been very, very active this offseason. We touched on this earlier this hour. The Houston Texans gave Danielle Hunter an extension. They signed Hunter to a one-year and $35.6 million extension. So the Texans pass rusher, who had 12 sacks last year, which was tied for fifth in the league, and a 23.9% pressure rate, will get a $12 million raise for this coming season, meaning he'll make $32 million, and he'll get the rest of that extension during the 2026 season. Good for him. I like Danielle Hunter. He and Will Anderson proved to be quite the tandem at defensive end. And it helped the Texans get a lot of sacks this past season. And the strength of the Texans defense, it starts with what they have on the defensive line. It's a damn good defensive line. So there you go, guys. Slow day in the NFL. Here's what's going on in the NCAA tournament. First off, the game that we are all watching right here, as we hang out and throw a few back at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar patio with $4 beers, $4 wells, $5 margaritas, and $5 shots. Our beloved Cougs, rah, 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 with 3:50 to play in the first half, are up 42-20 on SIU Edwardsville. That's Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, to be specific. They are also nicknamed the Cougars. They are playing fearsome defense. And on top of that, the Cougs are hitting their threes. They're shooting 54.5% from outside, 6 of 11 total. And that's a great sign, because if there's anything that I think in years past that we would point to as reasons that the Cougs can't win a title, it's because their shooting, it's not very consistent. But take a look at the numbers. Milos Uzan is 6 of 7 from the field, 2 of 2 from outside. He has 14 points. L.J. Cryer, 3 of 8 from the field, 2 of 5 from outside for 9 points. Emmanuel Sharp, 2 of 4. 2 of 4 from outside, all of those shots from outside, with 6 points. So they're 6 of 11 from 3-point land, and they are crushing the rebound game. 17 rebounds to 4 for SIU. So this is just a complete mismatch as far as that game goes. Other games, earlier today, Creighton beat Louisville 89-75, 9 seed over an 8 seed. In the second half, with 2:50 to play, Purdue is up 67-58 on High Point University. And with 16:38 to go in the second half, Wisconsin leads Montana 49-40. So there you go. That's all that's going on in the NCAA tournament. Other games set to tip off soon. In about 10 minutes, Auburn will play Alabama State. And a little bit after that, you will see Clemson tip things off against McNeese. So there you go. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Again, we are live here for March Madness at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio. Come out, hang out. You heard all the deals. $4 beers, $4 wells, $5 margaritas, and $5 shots. Also, they're teaming up with your favorite Edo barbecue cookers for Brisket and Rib Showcase. Purchase a ticket from the link in their bio on Facebook and Instagram for this cook-off, which takes place on Saturday. Each ticket comes with 3 food samplings, drink tickets, and a voting ticket for your main plate. You can upgrade to a VIP ticket for shuttle service and private concert at J-Bar M Barbecue after the cook-off. Stick around on the Paul Gallant Show. We're getting closer and closer to Astros opening day, just a week away. Our countdown continues next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant.
Coming out, watch the Cougs with us, or just watch all March Madness with us. $4 beers, $4 wells, $5 margaritas, and $5 shots all day long. I just down to Shiner Life Lawn, thanks to our friends here at Shiner. The Cougs just bombed a shot from half court to close out the first half. They lead now 52-24 over SIU Edwardsville. Okay, that wasn't from half court, but it was a buzzer beater. All I heard was the loud noise in the background and some Cougs fans getting up and getting excited about it as I wear my amazing Cougs hat. Yep, he definitely got that off in time. So the Cougs are just bombing it from outside. I imagine they'll review this, but that is 100% good. Which means the Cougs now from outside are shooting 8 of 13, 61.5%. They shot 19 of 31 in the first half, 61.3%, and they have a 20-6 rebounding advantage. Yeah, this one's going to be ugly. So good job by the Cougs in the first half. Hopefully they can keep it going in the second half and get that elusive 28.5-point spread. They are very close to it. They currently have a 26-point lead, and it's halftime. The other games that have gone down today in the tournament, Creighton beat Louisville 89-75. You've also seen Purdue and High Point. Purdue's about to win that one with 38 seconds left. They lead High Point 73-63. And Wisconsin is up 54 on Montana with 14:36 to go in the second half. Auburn and Alabama State are about to tip off as the next game, a 1 versus 16 matchup. So now you know the rest of the story. Guys, we are officially a week away from the Astros opening their season at Daikin Park. Give me that bone.
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row, and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros
are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
It's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
So the most exciting thing that happened yesterday for the Astros is that Cam Smith once again went yard. He is killing it in spring training. His numbers, 13 for 31 for a 419 average. He has four homers, 11 runs batted in, and an OPS of 1.371. This is Astros manager Joe Espada talking about Smith's performance and just how difficult it's going to be to make a decision about whether he starts the season in the majors or in the minors.
You know what? I like the fact that he pulled that one, and then the single to right. So he continues to hit the ball to all fields with power. Swing decisions are excellent. He made a couple of plays down the right field corner there where I thought he handled himself really well, and he continues to push the hand on us. You know, he's putting himself in a really good position, so we'll continue to evaluate him.
It's going to be hard to evaluate him saying, yeah, he shouldn't be on the opening day roster. I just don't know how you do it with how he's hitting right now and with what your options are in the outfield, given how poorly Chaz McCormick has played this spring. It probably does make more sense, I will say, to start off Cam Smith hitting against double-A pitching as opposed to major league pitching. You know, there's always the chance that you bring a guy up too early, he faces major league pitching, his confidence gets shot. But I am a big believer that iron sharpens iron, and if you want to get this guy to be the best he possibly can be, facing major league pitching with his approach, well, that Bob Marley he listens to, his meditation and all that, I think he'll be able to handle it. I think he's got the right mindset to potentially deal with failure. And that's huge. I mean, that's really the biggest thing in baseball. You're going to fail a lot. How do you handle it? Do you get mad? Do you get down? Or do you shake it off and just continue to be the guy that you know you can be on a day-to-day basis and trust your process? So, tough decision again for the Astros to make, and Cam Smith continues to make it difficult. That's a good thing. It is a good thing, but it will be interesting to see if the Astros decide that they're going to have in both left field and right field guys who are primarily positional, who are primarily infielders. Because, yeah, Cam Smith's a third baseman. Jose Altuve is a second baseman. And Altuve, yesterday in left field for the second straight game, had a pop-up right to him with a runner on third base. And instead of catching the ball bounced off of his glove as he was thinking about taking the ball and throwing it to home plate to try and stop the runner from getting home. Twice in 2 days, in the same exact way, I mean, you can't help but be concerned. And I'm really curious if there's anybody out there who thinks that Altuve is going to be able to make this work. Because right now, what reason would you have to believe in this? Really, what reason would you have to believe that Jose Altuve is going to successfully make the transition to left field? He had a couple of nice plays in the gap, so he's got the athleticism, but, I mean, this is a basic thing, and it's been a problem in back-to-back games he didn't learn from at the game before. Like, how many times do I have to keep saying the same thing over and over again, you know? Because the same thing is happening over and over again. I'm concerned about this, and the Astros are pretty gung-ho about keeping him in left field. All right. Best of luck, I guess. We also saw the official release of the Astros' new City Connect uniforms. There was a video that was done that explained all the elements of the jersey. There's a patch on the side that pays tribute to the train station nearby. There's a quote by John F. Kennedy on the jersey in a certain area. And, you know, it's the first time that they've ever worn a uniform that calls them the Stros. Like in the song in the background, the trombone version of How About Them Stros. This is a shirt that I bet Paul Wall and company wishes that they were wearing during that music video, famous music video, that I believe was shot not too far away from here because we're hanging out in East Downtown, a Texas tailgate. Again, the deals here are fantastic. If you haven't seen them already, you got $4 beers, $4 wells, $5 margaritas, and $5 shots. As we continue to watch the Cougs, it's halftime now, and the Cougs are smoking. Smoking! SIU Edwardsville, also the Cougars, after hitting a halftime three-pointer right at the buzzer. So that game will be back in action. Come out and hang out. A lot of Cougs fans out here. Hanging out on the patio. It's a beautiful day. So much sunlight. Nice little breeze. Not too hot. Not humid. Hopefully the pollen counts down a little bit. I don't notice it as much today. That's for damn sure. So that's been nice. That's been very nice. Because in case you've been listening the last couple of days, I've been hacking up a lung, blowing my nose every 5 seconds. Oof. Also in the tournament, by the way, since we are watching all these games here and wrapping up our countdown talk, Creighton beat Louisville today, 89-75. Purdue officially beat High Point, 75-63. Wisconsin's up 61-50 on Montana. And there were other games yesterday in the NCAA tournament, the last couple of days. These are the play-in games that are, let's be honest, bogus. But Mount St. Mary beat American, 83-72. And Xavier beat Texas, 86-80. Rodney Terry, head coach of Texas, his job is in question after that loss. I don't think that it's been officially announced, but most people are under the assumption he will be fired. The Tuesday games, North Carolina beat San Diego State, 95-68. And St. Francis and Alabama State. Alabama State won 70-68. And that gave Alabama State the chance to play Auburn, a game that has just tipped off. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Again, we are live at the Texas Tailgate Sports Bar patio. We're going to be here until the end of my show, and the Killer Bees are going to be here too. 713-780-3776 to call in or text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.